Computer Mouse, the meanest creature in the world. Or a programmer's lament. I never wanted a computer mouse. It found me. I got a used one as a gift, but it was brand new, or so it seemed. Then I came across GEOS, or Geos, as I used to call it, and saw a little cursor in the corner, and put one and two together. I've been struggling with computer mice my whole life. Let me show you. Let me tell you a little story. One of the biggest mouse battles I've had happened just this past week. And I lost. I often lose to the mouse. I lost. Allow me to open with evidence of just what a cruel beast a mouse is. This is from the Mozilla Developer Network documentation on the subject of the movement, the bare bone movement event. The most basic thing there is that the mouse emits. It reads as follows. Warning. Browsers use different units for movement X and screen X than what the specification defines. Depending on the browser and the operating system, the movement X units may be a physical pixel, a logical pixel, or a CSS pixel. You may want to avoid the movement properties and instead calculate the delta between current client values, screen X, screen Y, and the previous client values. I believe that somehow, in some mysterious conspiratorial dimension, this is done on purpose, somehow perpetrated by the hold the computer mouse has over our world. This week began with a simple problem, just dragging things on the desktop, and I'll explain to you how dragging works. You press the mouse button and receive a mouse down event. Let's say you pressed it at X equals 5, Y equals 5 position, just for simplicity's sake. Now, at this point, you have to begin monitoring for a mouse move event, because you don't care about movement until you press the mouse button. So you set up a mouse move listener right after you already monitored for the button press and wait. You actually have to wait. There is no sequential execution here. The mouse will send you the move event. The damn mouse will just beam something your way. It will be just a few milliseconds, but you don't decide how many. You just sit there and wait with your little mouse move event. And then you will receive the event, and it may say, okay, kitty, the mouse is now at position X equals 10, Y equals 10. Meaning it has moved 5 pixels. To calculate that, and you have to calculate it because the values cannot be just delivered to you, they have to be calculated. You say the current position minus the previous position, which is 10 minus 5 for both X and Y. Y indeed. Now that you have performed this calculation, while the button is pressed and the mouse is moving, you say to whatever you are dragging in your program, I need you to update your position by 5 pixels east and 5 pixels whatever, because the mouse said so, and I calculated it with extra steps in the middle of the listener. We're not really sure what's going on anymore, but it's 5. Then you release the mouse button, and now you have to remove the listener for the mouse move event because you're no longer dragging and you have to clean up after yourself. I'm not surprised that you have to clean up after yourself when dealing with a mouse. Let me tell you that. This is the friendliest thing that you can expect from the mouse. This is the nicest thing you'll ever get. Subtracting pixels to get the delta and then hope that your program will understand what to do with it. It all gets worse from here. It gets so bad that the movement property needs an actual warning as we have above. Now, where I have been defeated by the mouse this week is where I need to drag something in something very similar to a desktop window that, unlike a desktop window, has no limit as to how many other windows can be nested within themselves inside of it. And, of course, just to make matters worse, the system I am working with doesn't really let you do pixel calculations. Not entirely. In fact, it can only allow you to do a little bit of pixel calculations. Because here you have to use transforms. Each window defines how it should transform X and Y by panning X, panning Y, and then scaling the two through a zoom property. I was prepared for it. I had a beautiful little list where every window reported to me, relative to which window we are in, by how many pixels things have been panned left and right, and how much the window is zoomed in or zoomed out. My calculations were perfect. They are very simple. I understood the problem I was facing, including that things inside the windows have their own layout manager, which eventually will need to be altered to take panning under consideration. I could make the system work. It only required that whenever you scroll the mouse wheel, you either zoom in or zoom out, and then have to pan at the same time so that the point under the cursor is always the same. Basically, you're telling the system that you want to zoom in where the cursor is at. But it was unclear. So I had to abandon the way windows are structured, create a new repository, which I called Kerfuffle, and it is one of my development strategies to carefully move the code while just going over it step by step. There isn't a lot of code, and I actually created my own OOP system where I have these beautiful little listeners set up automatically for all the values that need to be monitored. It's all very nice. But you have to follow the story that you originally told with the code. I had to begin everything anew. And yes, it was the mouse that did this to me. It was the mouse. The documentation states that X and Y is another way of reading coordinates, that it is an alias for client X and client Y that reports mouse position within the visible viewport, the square that shows the part of the page that you're looking at while scrolling. And you know what? I compared .x and .clientX properties, and the values were different. Furthermore, when I maximized the window, when I made it full screen by pressing F11, the viewport coordinates appeared to have changed. By what seemed to me, because at this point I wasn't even taking the program seriously, the size of the browser menu bar, which should not have happened because I was only listening to the viewport. Look, I'm sure I am wrong about client X and X being different. Documentation says it's an alias, so I'm sure it is. But it is the distrust of the mouse. Because of all those little dinky warnings about which pixels to read, that will derail you. They will make you double guess yourself. They will cause doubt that perhaps somewhere you used the wrong X. Finally, please know that I could make it work. I could totally get it working with just a snippet of code that kind of didn't make sense. It's because I observed the numbers that needed to change, not because I understood what was going on. And even then, understanding is not enough. I am a watchmaker. The clockwork is an art form. Adding extra gears to correct movement is a huge no-no. It is not how programming is done at all. Only wisdom, art, and precision is allowed. All I know is that it was the mouse, a cruel, somewhat cybernetic creature that threw me off. The mouse is just imprecise somehow. It's odd and unusual and unique, enough so to make you need to reassemble the watch. I like normal mice, but I do not like computer mice. Too imprecise. They always jinx me.